Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. The Leafs snap their losing streak against the Lightning.
Here's Van Riemsdyk in on the left wing. He scores! Holy mackerel, what a shot! James Van Riemsdyk from the top of the circle beats the glove hand of Bishop. Onto the wing to Kessel. The snapshot is on. There's the rebound. Scores! James Van Riemsdyk! What a pair of Angora mittens on that guy.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
7:03, it is Brady and Walker. Do you own Angora mittens, Brady?
Survey says yes.
Tell me all about it.
I actually don't know what those are.
Joe Bowen at the call. Leafs get the bounce back they needed. We expected it's a bounce back league, right? And we expected to see it against Nashville. They were coming off an awful 6-2 loss on the road to the worst team in the NHL. And then, as we all know, the next game was even worse. So, heading into last night, and you're watching Steven Stamkos and the Bolts come in, and he plays well here, there was a definite feeling of what if, right?
Sure. And even first period, they get an early goal from David Clarkson, great work from Daniel Winnick on the goal, and then an unassisted Alex Killorn shorthanded goal. I'm telling you, God, I mean, we will accentuate the positive, but let me say this, and then we'll get to what happened after the game with the Leafs and the non-salute. But watch Jake Gardner on that first goal, and you get a guy who just is absolutely lost right now in terms of how to defend a scoring chance, which he attempted after a late lackadaisical giveaway on the power play, no less. They give up that goal, Andrew, with about 1:10 to go in the first period, and you think, coming out, storming out of the gate in the second, what if Tampa scores? And what if the house of cards, dominoes, whatever expression you want to use, just collapses? What a big, big unassisted goal by Richard Ponick, taking the puck away from his former teammate Matt Carl, and Ben Bishop was in the corner of the rink by the time Ponick scored the goal. Valuable pickup. Give Dave Nonis, Brendan Shanahan credit for finding him. And this fourth line played last night and played some good minutes. And then you got JVR's two undeniable goals. So their consistency is that they're inconsistent, is the best way to put it. No one seems to have a sense what kind of team you'd see Saturday against the Red Wings, next week in Pittsburgh.
True.
We don't know.
It's true. You don't necessarily have a sense of, I mean, the Leafs have played Detroit twice now. And it was the 1-0 loss in Detroit. They played pretty well, and then they got blown out.
Terrible home game on Friday night.
So we'll see what comes up on Saturday night in the next game. But give them credit. Last night, yeah, there was a moment of I wonder what's going to happen when it's 1-1 heading into the second. But from that point on, the Leafs played one of their best games of the season. They gave the Lightning almost nothing until the late flurry with the goalie pulled with a 3-goal deficit anyway. So give them credit. So this game ends, JVR takes it over, big 2 points for the Leafs, they stop the bleeding, and then, at the end, if you are used to seeing, as most teams do now, the salute at center to the fans, the Leafs noticeably didn't do it. They went to the dressing room, and is it the biggest deal in the world? I don't know, but it is going to be talked about today, and it does start with our show. Was this the Leafs sticking it to the booze and the jersey throwers a little bit?
Well, to some extent, because there have been some people that have been, I wouldn't say encouraging the jersey throw, but saying fans are fans and they pay the money and they can do what they want. And to a great degree, that's true. Well, athletes are athletes. And athletes who are a team, you're not on the team. You and I never use the expression we when it comes to sports teams. I'm not sure fans should ever be that comfortable doing it. There's a disconnect usually between supporters and the players themselves. And it was very clear to me, Andrew, the players themselves said this one's for us, or to a greater veracity said, screw you. We need a little bit more from fans, and it's too bad. A couple bad eggs are ruining it for everybody else. But we hear the chants. We see the social media stuff. We see the jerseys thrown on the ice. This one was simply for us and us alone, and we'll see where it goes on Saturday. Do I have a problem with it? No, not in the least. Athletes are creatures of habit, and they want to break the habit. I don't care if they don't salute. I didn't like it anyway, but it's getting some reaction. Brian on Twitter, at BradyFan590, love how classy the Leafs are. Fans down on the team after two bad losses, and he drops the F-bomb. No salute at center ice, hashtag millionaire crybabies. You got a lot of people that are sure. that are going to play that card this morning, and maybe some in the media will as well. I don't think we're going to be two of them.
It is our poll question, sportsin590.ca. Should the Leafs have saluted their fans following that 5-2 win? So far, 61% don't have a problem with it. And I do sympathize a little bit with the players in the sense of, you know, you look at, okay, for an example, Morgan Riley. Here he is. He's in his second full season. And he's playing on a hockey team right now that is not a Stanley Cup contender, but they're not embarrassing. I mean, the last two games are embarrassing, don't get me wrong, but they're 10-8-1. Greg, they've had eight regulation losses. And in six of those losses, people have thrown the team's jersey on the ice in front of them. Do those guys deserve that?
No.
I don't think they do.
I wonder if, is this the team also picking up for Phil Kessel and what transpired to some extent on Saturday night in Buffalo, where Monday we got to watch Phil Kessel. Phil, are you comfortable speaking in front of cameras? Should you do more of it? Do you get nervous when we ask you some good questions and some ridiculous questions? And you're watching, it was the pinnacle of awkwardness to watch him have to answer those kind of questions. Maybe it's a little bit, look, they can't boycott talking to the media. The whole team can't do that. But I'm starting to think just in the last hour it's popped into my head. Is it something to do with that as well?
709 Brady and Walker, let's get you to what you need to know on a Friday.
This is your Friday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, the Anaheim Ducks make a little bit of news yesterday, Greg. Well, first off, they win Ryan Kessler's return to Vancouver, 4-3 in a shootout. You knew there was a little money on the board for Ryan Kessler in that one. They make a trade as well. Stay-at-home defenseman Brian Allen is now a Montreal Canadian. In exchange, a Rene Bork, who was banished to the minors, gets dealt out to Anaheim.
So can he get a... This would be basically a third chance in the last three or four years. He'll be surrounded by guys like Ryan Kessler, by younger players, Valesky, Cogliano. I wonder if there's a fit for him on, like the big forward on a third line. Can he crack a top six in Anaheim that like we said, looks pretty deep when everybody's healthy?
It's probably worth the risk for the Ducks. I mean, there's a lot not to like about Rene Bork. We know that. But Brian Allen's a guy that is in the final year of a deal that's kind of a bad contract at this point because he's a 5-6 guy at best. He was making 3.5. Rene Bork has this year and next at 3.3. It's not a terrible risk for Anaheim because we saw it in Montreal. Rene Bork can catch fire a little bit in the playoffs, and he's not going to be counted on to do anything in Anaheim.
No, only thing I'd say, odd time to trade him. They've got a couple injuries on the blue line, Sheldon Surrey being one. They finally got Francois Beauchemin back after injury. It was kind of an odd time to move him, but they feel like they got depth on the blue line.
Number five, the National Football League has moved the Buffalo Bills-New York Jets game from Ralph Wilson Stadium this weekend. So instead, these two teams, because of all that snow, will play Monday night in Detroit. How well attended is this game going to be? Would it have been better if it was here in Toronto?
That's a great question. I mean, Detroit's got they're on the road Sunday, so they really couldn't play a Sunday game also with the Bills and Jets when the hometown team is playing on TV and an important game and maybe the best game of the 1 o'clock set in New England. I don't even know what they're selling tickets for, but let's say tickets are $25 a seat. I bet you it's half full, and maybe we shouldn't expect anything more than that. Everything there is a bonus, but I don't know how many Buffalo fans are going to travel from Buffalo to Detroit, and you know they're basically not able to get out of their own driveways. But if you're a Bills fan in London or Sarnia, it's a nice time to easy time to see your team.
Number four, NFL Thursday Nighter, the Oakland Raiders finally win a game. They will not finish 0-16, although they had lost 16 in a row. 24-20, they get by the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, nice for Oakland to get off the schneid, but if you're the Chiefs, you know they're going to be feeling this loss. That one was one they probably chalked up in the win column. So now instead of 8-3, they're 7-4 and have to look in the rearview mirror a little bit.
Look at three of their next four games, Andrew. And don't forget, they were down 13. There was a good win against Seattle last week. The week before, they're down 13-3 going into the fourth against Buffalo. And maybe their playoff lives are on the line. Hosting Denver next Sunday night. At Arizona the week after. They host Oakland. Okay, they'll get a chance for the Raiders again. Then they got to go to Pittsburgh. Three really tough games in the next four for a 7-4 team that we kind of almost gave an AFC playoff spot to yesterday on the show.
Yeah, this was a classic look-ahead game for Oakland or for Kansas City, and they looked ahead. Number three, Raptors wrap up what's been a really good homestand tonight. They're 9-2. They get the 7-5 Milwaukee Bucks at the ACC. Number two, Russell Martin, introduced yesterday by the Toronto Blue Jays. Also of note, Deonor Navarro, the catcher last year, a pretty good free agent sign. He's got 1 year left at $5 million. But he says rather than, I don't know, play DH sometimes or be a backup catcher, Deonor Navarro wants out. He'd like a trade. And he's very tradable. Is this something that can be a positive going forward for the Blue Jays?
Well, yeah, and maybe you're trying to do a guy that was a good soldier here last year, a solid. Saying that, it's a big boy business, and he got a nice 2-year contract. He got a starting job. He might not have got on other teams, and he proved he could handle it. So they got him decent playing time. But I think there's an element of Alex Anthopoulos being thankful, but you still have to get the right deal. It's funny, the teams that wanted Russell Martin, Andrew, are now the teams maybe interested in trading for Deonor Navarro. Pittsburgh, right. Maybe the L.A. Dodgers would look at Deonor Navarro as well. It helps to be in the American League, and neither of those teams are, to give Navarro some, 20, 30 DH games a year to rest. He's not in the best of fitness, so we'll see where he ends up.
And the number one thing you need to know, the Leafs bounced back a 5-2 win last night over Tampa Bay. You're right, the consistency here is that they're inconsistent. So what do we see tomorrow night when the Detroit Red Wings come to town? Now, we want to send you to this game. Toronto takes on Detroit, courtesy of the great Blue Heron Casino. It is Brady and Walker's ticket window, and it opens up right now. We're playing Name That Mystery Player. We gave you a clue at 6:14. Here is your second clue this morning. Before he got to Toronto, he played on one of the most productive lines in the game. Give you your third and final clue coming up at 8:14 this morning.
So Elliot Friedman will touch on all the big Hockey Night in Canada games tomorrow night, including Detroit and Toronto on CBC. And, of course, Grapevine, Don Cherry, Brian Williams as well. Why can we not compare one of the stars of today's game to Phil Esposito? Don will tell you at 7:34.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:23, Brady and Walker coming up after Elliot Friedman joins us. Some of your texts. Who's the worst gym guy out there? Read an article in GQ magazine. There's some pretty good ones that we forget about, including Naked Shaver, who Greg Brady may or may not be Rogers campus gym here.
I haven't been kicked out yet. I don't know who Shower Tinkler is. George New York. Maybe he meant to say North York. If he's writing from New York, great.
I may or may not be that guy.
But I don't know what that is. That more in reference to the
pee in the shower.
Are there people that don't do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Big slate tomorrow night of games on the Rogers network. Sportsnet's got Montreal and Boston on CBC. Red Wings, Toronto. I believe those are both original six matchups. I don't care what Keith Olbermann says. Pittsburgh and the Islanders are on City. New Jersey and Calgary play on Sportsnet on the late game. So there's two doubleheaders. And Chicago, Edmonton. Can the Oilers finally win a Western Conference game against Johnny Taves and Patrick Kane? We'll find out. 10 o'clock start for that. Elliot Friedman, fresh off a trip to Nashville, Tennessee, where he probably didn't see a 9-goal outburst coming later in the week. Brought to you by Cicely Hahn this morning. Did you think the Preds had 9 goals in them post-game after the Jets Saturday?
I think they had 9 icings in them in that game against the Jets.
They led the league in icings on Saturday, yeah.
There was a couple minutes there in that game that were just terrible, but I guess it was a little different here the other night, that's for sure.
So the Leafs do bounce back last night. That was one of their best efforts of the season. It really was. And all of a sudden, Tampa's kind of out of sorts with their last two. Thoughts on the game, but also the aftermath, because you know it's going to be talked about today.
Yeah.
With the Leafs players not doing the obligatory center ice salute. Were they sticking it to the jersey-tossing fans a little bit?
Probably a bit. I think that I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did it. You know, you heard, obviously, the MLSE came out and talked about, you know, whether or not you have to punish these people with year-long suspensions from the Air Canada Center. If you heard Phil Kessel's comments, and probably the best scrum he's had since he got to Toronto on Wednesday, it's clear that he thought he hated it, and he was pretty upset about it. And, you know, I'm sure once they checked their Twitter feeds, both on Saturday night after Buffalo and Tuesday night after Nashville, I'm sure there were, and especially with what you were writing to them, Andrew, I'm sure there were guys sitting there saying, you know what, we've had about enough over the past couple of days. It's just too much of a coincidence if, as Chris Johnson wrote, that they've done it after every win in the last couple of years, and all of a sudden last night it doesn't show up.
I think we grew up, and at times there'd be a fragility and maybe a tension between fans and the collective group of teams. Well, that happened a lot. You and I would have been kids during the Ballard years, and we would have sensed that it was there. Non-sexual tension, I want to point out, between the fans and the players.
Yeah.
And that said, I feel like that's the case here, that there is, and maybe upper management notices this to some extent and still says, well, none of this solves our problems. Fans are going to react very overtly with bad results, and players will sort of, this is to stick it to people who don't think we can play in this league, who think we're a bunch of bums.
Well, I think we should include media in that too, Greg.
Yeah, because, totally.
You know, we're part of it too. We feed the fire. You know, we can be very harsh at times, especially in moments like that. I'm not saying it's undeserved. I'm just saying that we can be very harsh. And, you know, I was with a lot of other media members. I was at the practice on Wednesday, and what you saw was a team that was under siege in a lot of ways. You know, I thought some of the veterans like Kessel and Phaneuf and Van Riemsdyk in particular really answered the bell that day. You know, I thought that they were passionate. They said a lot of really good things, and then, of course, they delivered in the game yesterday. But the other thing, too, is, you know, I think for some of the younger guys like Gardner and Riley, you know, they looked to me like they were, you know, they were nervous. They were a little bit shaken by kind of the reaction of the past couple of days. And I'm sure for some of the guys on that team, you know, the reason they were so angry was probably that. Now, you play poorly in Toronto, and you take it. The rewards here are great. I remember Healy once saying that even the fourth-line center in Toronto gets a car deal. So the rewards are great in Toronto.
Or a Microsoft store opening.
But the bottom days are really tough. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit if in the last 2 days, you know, some of the players looked at everything that happened and they said, this was outrageous, and they were two losses, but we're still in the race, and we think this was too much. And the only way you can change that and the only way you can end it is by going out and having performances like they did last night. They were really good.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, our NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Sisley Honda here on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You were tweeting about it, and it really was a brilliant piece of investigative journalism by our buddy Aaron Portsline in yep. Columbus with the Dispatch. What can you say about this Jack Johnson situation? Basically broke and disenfranchising himself from his parents. None of it feels like his fault.
And Elliot, so far, how have you avoided the same fate with the cars you drive and the expensive vacations and all the other?
Well, I got to tell you this. My dad does my taxes, and I haven't had this problem yet, I have to say. He's pretty good at this kind of thing.
He's not borrowing from loan sharks?
No, not as far as I know. You know, if somebody knocks on my door in the next couple of days, I'll know. I mean, how can you not feel terribly for the guy? You think you're doing everything properly, and you think you're, I mean, who can't you trust if you can't trust your parents? But it's interesting. Yesterday I had a chance to talk to Brian situation where he got scammed, and by his estimate, he's lost between, you know, $3 and $6 million of what he earned. And Berard, now before every season, the NHL and the Players Association do a rookie symposium. And the last 2 years, Berard's gone to it, and he has talked to them about what he went through and how you can avoid it. And it was, you know, it was a pretty fascinating conversation. He talked about how, you know, when you're a young player, you get into the NHL, and all you want to do is concentrate on hockey. You don't want to hear about your finances. You just want to make it. And he said that you have to take a responsibility to change it. He said, can you read a balance sheet? Do you understand your bank statement? Do you ask questions about the people that you give your money to? Are you liquid enough? If you need cash, you know, can you get your hands on it, or is it all tied up in real estate investments and things like that? And, you know, I'm going to be writing about it later today, but I have to say that it was really interesting listening to him, because he wants people now to know, if you ever have a question or you're concerned about what's happening to you, get in touch with me and I will help you out. It was really interesting to hear him talk.
And it's funny because we've seen all the profiles of NFL, NBA players. We don't think about in the NHL, but the Brian Berard was linked in with guys like Yari Lehtinen, Mike Pekka. They lost a lot of money. Look, Sergei Fedorov went broke. We all think Jaromir Jagr went back to the KHL because he needed liquid cash. There wasn't a great reason to do it. So there you got probably two Hall of Famers in Fedorov and Jagr, and nothing to show for it when they're in their early 30s. It's incredible.
Yeah, Mike Modano, too.
Mike Modano,
Just went to the Hall of Fame this week. He went through that.
And that whole Len Barry group as well out west, right?
Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, it happens. Like, if you don't ask questions, I mean, ultimately what you have to do is you have to ask questions and you have to know where your money is. And, you know, and he talked about it. I think the key thing he says there is you get into the league and you don't want to worry about money. You want to worry about your game, and that's one of the ways you can really start to go wrong.
See, that's why half of every paycheck, Elliot, I put into toilets. It's recession-proof. We'll always need them. Always. Smart investment.
There's a tip. I got to tell you, there's a commercial on this radio station to be made out of that. I'm Andrew Walker, and I have a plan for your future.
Better than your coffee table book idea.
That is
Andrew.
True.
That's been done once already.
We'll be watching this weekend.
All right, Greg and Andrew, have a great weekend, guys.
Elliot Friedman, Detroit, Toronto on us, on of course, CBC, Montreal, Boston on Sportsnet. Lots of great games, including two doubleheaders. Chicago, Edmonton's the late one on CBC. Tomorrow night, check your local listings.
We've been getting some texts. 590-590 is our text line. We've been talking about a little bit about Gym Guy. There's an article in GQ that documents the 12 worst, quote-unquote, gym guys you're going to come across. Now, my favorite, one of them is the spin class ogler. This is the guy that takes the takes classes that are mostly populated by women, and you know he's there for one reason and one reason
only.
Have
you ever done a class that's mostly populated by women? Have you ever? Because a lot
I don't do classes.
From many of your bios.
Yeah, very accomplished high school athlete.
Yeah, that's right.
Free sports.
Yeah, if it wasn't for those injuries, and you know, but a lot of people swear by. Now I've done Pilates,
right,
and I've never done the hot yoga thing. Never done that.
No,
but I'm
not.
I've been in classes where I've been the only male.
I'm not a class
11
guy.
Or 12. What you're worried about? I'll tell you. In Pilates, a couple times in class, you're worried. You put your body in such contortions on the floor. You're worried about letting one fly. And you're in there sometimes, and sometimes the ladies let one fly, and you're going, this isn't attractive. It's not attractive in the least.
Well, stop eating like 8 pounds of sushi before you go working out.
Well, I'll try and tell them that. Yeah. I'm in the class with Deonna Navarro. What am I going to do?
George is listening in New York. He texts in 590-590. He says, what about shower tinkler or no wipe down machine guy?
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. The first one, I'll admit I've been guilty of that.
It's good for your feet.
Yeah, if you have been stung by a jellyfish.
No, who's the Moises Alou was never the same MLB player after he admitted peeing on his hands.
The worst is 590-590. The worst is the dude on roids, says this text. Or even worse, the group of dudes on roids. Too excited, too pumped up to be around.
What about the guy?
The
guy that comes to the gym after you've done a radio show and just wants to come up and talk to you about the show. But actually, our producer Ryan Favreau doesn't come to the gym with me anymore, so. I was checking his phone for future guests.
No, he just goes straight out to eat hot dogs and chips.
I know. Texting with Wayne Gretzky and Peyton Manning while he's on the Stairmaster. How much are you going to get done?
Grapevine is coming up. Don Cherry and Brian Williams just seconds away. Don talks about Phil Esposito today and how he always led the league in shots on goal.
Hometown Hockey's in Fort McMurray, Alberta, Sunday night on City TV. What you didn't know about Fort McMurray. I mean, where the hell should we start? We'll do that at 7:50.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Going to go up top here on first down. Going to the end zone, and he's got his target for the touchdown. It's James Jones.
We're not the worst. We're not the worst.
Oakland can't prove
Raiders,
that.
Win their first of the year, 24-20, Thursday nighter. Over Kansas City, 7:43, Brady and Walker. A reminder, Rogers hometown hockey trivia. It's going to hit in about 7 minutes from now. You don't want to miss it. Our producer, Ryan Faber, will be in first. Jason Lacanfora joins us to talk a little NFL.
Yeah, Jason Lacanfora from CBS Sports. CBS would have had Bills Jets as one of their Sunday 1 p.m. games. It'll now be played neutral site as the Vikings and Giants did when the Metrodome roof collapsed 4 years ago. Monday night, 7 o'clock. No announcement yet, Jason, but tickets were free for the Giants and Vikings 4 years ago. And I think there were the can donations. It was right around Christmas time. So maybe that's a smart move. Was this the overwhelming best option than giving the Meadowlands another game than RF than Washington? Is this the smart move? You get to play inside here?
Exactly. I think so. Logistically, it's going to be tough to get some of these Bills players dug out. And some of them, I'm sure, given their druthers, would rather stay with their families. But, this is their job, and this is the way to do it. I think by moving it to Monday, you allow the Bills to at least hopefully get on the practice field Friday and Saturday, have a walk through Sunday, have a walk through Monday. So it allows them to salvage something of a practice week. Detroit is neutral. It's a dome. So, it kind of mitigates any weather issues there. And putting it in the Meadowlands, I don't think it's fair for the Jets to have, both home games in this series. Buffalo still feels it has some playoff potential. So I think this is probably the best-case scenario out of a tough situation.
As many have noted, side note, former Lions head coach Jim Schwartz now, Jason, will get access to he left rather bitterly, fired, and he'll get access to the Lions.
Yeah, he might get carried off again.
There might be a little lipstick on the mirrors after he gets done in the home locker room, leaving some messages for Jim Caldwell and Tom Lawan, maybe. You never know.
Yeah, he certainly enjoyed his first trip there.
we'll see where it goes. And did a window open a little bit for some AFC teams with Kansas City's loss night?
Yeah.
Maybe not Buffalo prominently, but that was a great result for Miami, great result for San Diego, great result for everybody in the AFC North enjoyed last
Houston,
night.
Houston, Baltimore, Cincinnati, whoever, is sort of going to be the first and second wild card team or what have you. I'm not shocked that Kansas City lost because just the way everything's set up, that's the classic trap game. They beat the Super Bowl champs at home. They're winning, but not necessarily overpowering anybody offensively. Their passing game still left a lot to be desired. They go on the road. They fall behind quickly. The weather turns. They're not a good team playing from behind. They scramble to kind of tie it, but couldn't get that last stop when they needed it. And they had the Denver game looming in 9 days. This is a very easy game to look past, and I think they kind of did.
Given how some of these records now set up, Jason, in the NFC with the Packers, and you go down the list, the Dallas Cowboys this week as well, does it turn into a must-win game this week for the 6-4 Seattle Seahawks?
Well, in terms of winning the division or any sort of vestiges of that, yes. At 6-5, could they still get in the playoffs? I don't think it's impossible. They'd have to obviously go on quite a run. But
it's unlikely, though.
Unlikely, but the fact that they have so many teams in front of them still, who are, frankly, in front of them or next to them in the standings, again, if they were to go on a great December run like we've seen the Giants do in the past, or the Ravens or some of these other teams, then I wouldn't be ready to completely, you know, put the knife through their hearts and say they're dead. But yeah, Arizona gets four games up on them, then, you know, the Cardinals are winning that division.
It was very much pound the rock Sunday night for the Patriots. What was strange was just the one carry for Shane Vereen and Jonas Gray with 37 carries. They readjusted his total, gave him 201 yards. But now they pick up LeGarrette Blount. I mean, there's no guessing with Bill Belichick. They host the Lions this week at Foxborough. Jonas Gray could get three carries for 6 yards on Sunday, couldn't he? This is the way just Belichick rolls.
I think Jonas Gray will still be given the opportunity to be the bell cow, but they've lost a running back already. You want to have, you know, some fortification. The weather is turning, and they want to protect Tom Brady. They want to be very balanced. Bill Belichick likes big backs. He likes to get physical, especially this time of year. They know LeGarrette Blount. They get him for a vet minimum deal, and they own him for 2 years. They have his rights for 2 years, so if they want to keep him around cheaply, they can. It's pretty good insurance for them, certainly at the right price. And if Gray isn't ready for a big load week after week, if he does break down, if he gets hurt, then they've got a guy there who they trust and who had a couple of big games late last season and looked like he was going to be a factor for them in the postseason. So I think it's sort of a quintessential Belichick move, and we'll see how much Blount matters one way or the other. But you know, even in the return game, I mean, no one thought he'd be much of a returner. They got a lot out of him in that regard last year, and even if he just gives them a couple of big returns, that could help him win a game or two.
Give us about 30 quickly on Miami-Denver. In the cold, you know, in the cold, harsh reality, we all maybe reacted to Denver scoring 7 points and thought something's really, really wrong here. Is that just the randomness of sports? Are they due for a very big bounce back Sunday?
I have concerns about their offensive line, their ability to protect Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning's trust and confidence in his running backs to chip and get up in front of somebody when they have to. And they've got some issues there too. Julius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, we're not sure if they're going to play or not. I think Denver's in a tough stretch here where they're playing a bunch of physical defenses in a row. They still have Buffalo and Kansas City looming. Those might not be the best matchups for their offensive line right now either. So I want to see what Peyton Manning's health and production looks like at the end of this stretch of games when we get into December.
Great games on CBS this weekend. That is one of the Miami-Denver, one of the late ones. Thanks for this, Jason. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure, guys. You do the same.
There he is, Jason Lockenfora, joining us. Don't forget, next Thursday, Sportsnet picks up Thursday Night Football again. Had a lot of drama last night, obviously, too, and we get a doozy. The third of the Thanksgiving triple header, Seattle and San Francisco, right here on Sportsnet from Santa Clara.
And, of course, this weekend, and I will say it is a must-win for Seattle. They get Arizona, and, hey, they're not winning the division. You're not making the playoffs this year with an 8-8 record. It's not going to happen when you have teams like the Cowboys and the Packers and the Eagles. And looks like San Fran has, not as difficult of a test this week as they get the Washington Redskins.
So amongst all the NFL football, it's Rodgers' hometown hockey Sunday. Ron McClain will originate live from Fort McMurray at 6:30, and then Habs Rangers from Madison Square Garden, a slightly more populated area, I'm told, than Fort McMurray. Sources say, and we're here for our regular 7:50 feature, hometown hockey trivia, and Ryan Favreau is in, our producer. You've chaired this lovely game show where nobody wins anything, and we're not even sure we really learn anything.
Oh, we learn stuff.
We turned it over to former Alberta resident Andrew Walker today. Just like I'll get to do St. Catharines in a couple weeks.
That's
I'm
true.
Excited for St. Catharines.
So, yeah, today we take a look at Fort McMurray, Alberta. Fort McMurray trivia. Ryan Favreau, Greg Brady going to go head-to-head. All right, finish the official slogan, fellas, of Fort McMurray. Is it, we have the sun, we have the light, we have the energy, or we've got the beat?
Those that sound like Cheers' Jeff Blair does before his show. At 9.
We have the light.
It can't be we've got the sun and we got the beats, the go-go's. What was the second one?
We have the light, we have the energy.
That's it. We have the energy.
Correct.
Woo!
It's actually we've got the beat. No.
Found
this interesting. Because of
there's oil there, Walker and Fammer.
Because
oil.
Of competition bylaws, Fort McMurray, or Fort Mac as they call it, has McDonald's. They have Second Cup. They have Starbucks. But they actually have no Tim Hortons.
Coffee.
This is a true or false?
Is this true or false?
Ryan?
True.
I think false.
Of course it's false. Why wouldn't they have Tim Hortons? Don't be an idiot. Everybody has Tim Hortons.
Why would you even think of that question? It was such a weird question.
I was thinking Burger King all of a sudden. I don't know why.
Man. The official or the original Fort McMurray Oil Barons hockey team actually had a game for the Stanley Cup. It was the Challenge Cup at the turn of the century, but they lost to the Winnipeg Victorians.
No. Jeff Merrick and I were talking about that the other day. He's a hockey historian. I was learning from him. That you're thinking of the Mystery Alaska plotline, and that was... It's not true. It's just not true.
It's false. Ryan Favreau?
Yeah, I agree. False.
Yes, it is false.
Yes.
That's correct.
Oh, way to go.
I actually thought I'd get you on that one. All right, the Fort McMurray population. Greg Brady, give me a number.
Oh, man. 20. Oh, I feel like I'm low there. Let's go 38,000 people.
All right. Ryan Favreau, over or under that?
Over.
Well over. 70,294 in the official 2012 census. All right.
Do they have a hot mayor?
It is a
You're all about that.
It is a female mayor. I don't know it. But I'm guaranteeing you she's not as hot as Red Deer's mayor. I'm saying that. All right. The Fort McMurray Oil Barons. That's their junior A hockey team. They play in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. They have had a first overall NHL draft pick play for them. True or false?
I say false.
I say it's true.
It is true. It's Chris Phillips. Draft
Phillips? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
By the Ottawa Senators and from Fort McMurray as well, I might add. All right, here about this. True or false, Fort Mac is home to Canada's largest outdoor gym.
No. Impossible. Simply not possible.
Yeah, it's false.
It's absolutely true. 53 pieces of equipment in Fort McMurray, Alberta, largely not in use during the harsh, cold winter months.
Do they have a medicine ball station?
I don't know.
Oh, I was terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And your final question on Rogers' hometown hockey trivia.
I don't want it to end. That's too bad.
Fort McMurray. Now, he wasn't raised there. He wasn't raised there. But current Prime Minister Stephen Harper, by happenstance, was actually born in Fort McMurray. True or false?
No. Incorrect.
Whatever. I want to say false, so I'm going to say true.
It's absolutely false.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot. Our Prime Minister is not from Fort McMurray.
Brady and Walker, we have the energy.
City TV, Sunday night, 6:30.
Have you ever... how often have you been there? How often would you...
Never. It's way up north. But my...
take a canoe down the Athabasca River. You know, get the audience out of here.
My dad and my brothers, who all work as commercial insulators, they go up there, they take the little planes up there and work.
Brady's playing with the Wikipedia page.
I just opened it now.
You're a cheater.
And why would I have guessed the population so wrong? I just opened it now.
Sure, bud. 38,000. Why would you cheat at this? You don't even win anything.
I'm not. I wanted to look at the picture of it. I brought it up at the last second. I'm not saluting the audience after that.
Rogers hometown hockey goes Sunday night pregame with Ron McLean live from Fort McMurray, Alberta at 6:30. Then it's Habs and Rangers at 7 Sunday on City TV. It's 7:55. Brady and Walker. We'll get back in on the Leafs, Greg, at 8:02.
Yeah, they did something good. They won. And then, according to some people, they did something that was rude. Not nice people, not waving sticks in the air in a cliched fashion. Bad Leafs.